This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 403. I will be telling comedy jokes in San Francisco at Cobb, September 11th through the 14th. There's a bunch of shows there, and it's a big room. So come on down. Also, September 27th at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, my buddy Matt Myra, podcast member, sister wife, Matt Myra. I'll be there as well, opening up. So that should be a really fun show, September 27th. And then November 8th, I'll be at the Carolina Theater in Durham, North Carolina. Get tickets. Go to Nerdist.com/calendar to find out that business. Several months ago, we had a young woman on the Nerdist television show on BBC America by the name of Katie Sackhoff, and she was fantastic. She was a great guest, really funny. And so I said, you have to come on the podcast. And she said, okay, I'll do it in the fall. And so we got her on. Riddick, she's in the movie Riddick. It's coming out September 6th. That's Friday, September 6th. But just friggin' hilarious and delightful. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie Sackhoff, which is KateSackhoff, Sackhoff. So we had a blast with her up here at the, what do we call this space up here anyway? And the studio should have a name, Katie Levine, KateIe.
I have no idea. Should come up with a name for it.
Is this like the Roost? Or the Crow's Nest?
Doug Benson always calls it the Louis De Palma Suite.
Because it's sort of like Louis' little thing from Taxi?
Exactly.
That's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
We could call this the Louis De Palma Room.
We could. Take it from Doug.
Yeah, but I wonder if that's too confusing to people to call it the Louis De Palma Room.
Maybe. Maybe for the younger audience.
Maybe that's for anyone who was born in the 70s or happens to be an extreme comedy nerd. Right now, we'll just call it the Crow's Nest.
Okay.
It's sort of a crow's nest. We peek out over the store.
Yes.
And now there's a bunch of people lining up. We're going to do one of our At Midnight run-throughs here at Meltdown right now when we're recording this. So I got to get downstairs and do a show. You might think this podcast is streaming live, but you'd be wrong. No one thinks that it's streaming live. Sometimes we'll get guests and they'll go, is this live? No, it's not live. But here's the Nerds Podcast number 403 with Katie Sackhoff.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
That's our pal Karen Gillan in that movie too.
I do love me some Karen Gillan.
She's fucking awesome.
She plays my daughter.
What?
Really?
Yeah, it's lately. Weird.
Yeah. Have you seen her with her shaved head?
Only in photos. Only in photos, and it looks pretty amazing. Like, I wish I could shave my head for a movie.
Yeah.
I'm, like, dying, but I always seem to be, like, stuck on a TV show when they're like, if you touch your hair.
Don't you feel like that'd be one of those things? We're recording now, right? Okay. Don't you feel like that'd be one of those things, though, where you would do it and be like, this is awesome. And 2 days later, you'd go, what did I do? It's going to take forever.
I don't know. Well, after I cut my hair for Battlestar for the pilot, and it was really short, and I remember that they literally cut my hair off and then sent us as an entire cast to boot camp. And I was sharing a room with Grace Park, and I woke up at like 2 o'clock in the morning sobbing. Oh. And I ran into the bathroom and just made sure that I could twist my hair up and put bobby pins in it. And I came back and was like, it's gotta be okay. I was so attached to my hair.
Wow.
At like the age of like 21. I was just like, my hair.
Did you know anyone else in the cast at that point?
No. I mean, we knew them. We'd all met. But, you know, Grace happened to be my roommate. So I ended up knowing Grace better than everybody else. But
did you expect that that show would end up becoming the thing that it became? Or were you like, oh, we're going to do this old sci-fi show and it's going to run on cable. And then it's just like, you know, Battlestar became like a thing.
No, I mean, I didn't. You know, I just, I wanted to shoot a gun. Like, I really, you know, I've said this so many times, and I think people think I was joking. Like, I had more, like, control over my career or something at that point in my life. But I needed a job. You know, the last show I'd done was The Education of Max Bickford with Richard Dreyfuss, and hadn't worked for, like, 6 months, and was like, oh, God.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that show.
Yeah, a great show. Marcia Gay Harden, Peter O'Toole. It was like this, Eli Wallach. It was like this crazy Oscar-winning cast.
Okay, now that's hilarious because you basically, when you got that job, you were probably like, oh, fuck, were people not going to, I mean, this is going to run forever. Look at this cast.
Right, yeah.
And it's like 19
episodes in.
Do this little sci-fi show.
Do this thing. I kind of took it just because I thought it would be really, really fun. And I didn't, and at the time I was trying to kind of change my image because I was stereotypical, like, stupid blonde girl in all these roles, like getting my head cut off in Halloween. And, like, I mean, I was, like, you know, the girl that everyone wanted to die. So I was kind of trying to shift it.
Is that why you wanted to shoot a gun? To get back at those people?
No, I wanted to shoot a gun to be like, I don't want to be this stupid blonde girl anymore, you know? And I never dreamed it would do what it did.
At what part in your career as an actor, because there's the point where when you first start out, you, like, any job you get is, this is amazing. And then at what point does the sort of the shine come off a little bit where you're like, I'm not really satisfied by these. And when do you start kind of making those choices?
Say the question one more time. Well, I'm like, I did everything in my power to not be stupid blonde girl anymore.
No, it's just
can
that,
you say that one more time?
I want to be dumb. I don't want to be dumb anymore.
I don't want to be dumb anymore. I want people. Yeah. I was literally thinking about, I was like, yeah, sorry.
Your brain, listen, you're in the middle of a fuck ton of Riddick promotion right now. Your days must be like, this must be one of 50 things that you're doing today.
At like 4:30 this morning, I was up walking dogs and then getting on the motorcycle and driving to ABC to do one of the
Did you ride a
things.
Motorcycle here?
No, I did not. Not here. Not here. But this morning, they wanted to do a little segment with me on the motorcycle, you know, because I'm so tough now.
That's right.
Was that another decision made to be less blonde dumb?
Well, when Trisha Helfer did it, I was like, if that bitch can do it, I can do it. Jesus Christ. I was like terrified of getting on a motorcycle, and she's like, oh, I did it.
I'm still like, scared. Even a scooter, I'm scared of.
Listen, your brain, the fact that you're upright right now and that you're not sobbing in a corner, like shaking, trying to remember who you are and what day it is, because I know, you know, like especially leading up to, Riddick comes out in like a week, right?
Yeah, like 4 days.
Oh, it's coming out Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, believe me, you're fine. Everything's fine.
You said something about shiny things. That's about all you remember.
The shiny things.
It was a wandery question, Chris. It was,
you Jonah,
it was a bit wandery. I'm just.
I want to know when you look back at the history of your life and then compare that to your favorite James Joyce novel, at what point do you start to notice
confusion?
Webster's Dictionary defines fame and success.
I feel like I'm in the inside the actor's studio.
What is your favorite swear word? Why wasn't I in more movies? Why wasn't I in more things? That this is like so much of it felt like that.
Yeah.
Why wasn't I? What was
How does one?
whose dick did you suck to get the job?
Yeah. But somebody actually put that in a in a review at one point when Battlestar first came out, I think they actually said, you know, whose dick did this girl suck? Because
to you, about you?
Yeah. Oh, people were very mean in the very beginning.
Do you think because you
that's
were playing...
not fair? It could have been a vagina. I mean, that's like so
right?
not fair.
It's
so sexist.
So it's judgmental.
Fair on her part, but on their part,
someone
but
said that in a review.
Don't understand what it was for people
that shared one penis
all at the same time.
They were conjoined. They were conjoined tuplets.
Yeah.
Quartets.
Yeah.
What was that a review or just like a
I don't
remember. Social media thing?
It was some blogger, which we all know they're journalists now, so I don't know.
That sucks.
Yeah.
You have to not read that stuff, though.
Well, I don't now.
That was the last one.
Yeah, but sometimes inadvertently it happens. Like, the other day somebody sent me this thing, like, you made such and such list. I was like, oh my God, that's fantastic. And I look it up, and it's like a list of everyone that hates me more than anything in life. And one of the things where they're like, her dress is so dated. Those shoes, I'm tired of it. Oh my God, her dress is fucking wrinkled. This bitch has no idea what she's doing.
Jesus.
And you're like, oh my God, I thought it couldn't get worse after Battlestar. Like, and I actually found the humor in it.
You have to. And you know, for like the whose dick that she sucked, that gives you the perfect opportunity to go on and be like you said, like, well, it was four dicks and it was dark. It was really
it
tough
was
to
amazing.
See. I don't really know who.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the internet loved it. And then like, oh, you know, because then they know that you have a sense of humor.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's I called Trisha the other day and I'm like, there's this whole blog about how much work I've had done on my face. And she starts laughing and she goes, well, honestly, that's a compliment because you just look really fucking good.
Yeah. Like, you have to take it like that.
Really good. And I was like, thanks. That's awesome. I actually need to think about it like that. So you got to kind of flip everything
to
be self-serving.
To a positive.
Everything.
You have to massage everything into your ego.
You do.
The shiny thing question was basically, so when you first start working as an actor, you just want any job.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point... the shine wears off of like, I'm working, and then it starts going like, I'm not really, you think that if you just work, you'll be satisfied.
Right.
And then that quickly becomes not satisfying.
Right, well, everything's relative, right?
It is.
You know? And I think that every job after the first job I got was kind of icing, and I was like, all right, this is going to be fun. And in the beginning of my career, I took everything. You know, I had a friend that turned down Halloween Resurrection, and I was like, well, I'll go audition for it and got it. And it every job begets another job at the beginning of your career, and then you have to start being more selective. And it's not because of your ego or what you think you're worth or anything. I think it's that your career has to have like some sort of like flow to it, or people lose interest really fast.
Sure.
So you kind of have to, everything has to make sense, you know.
So the career has to have a story.
Yes, it does. At the end of my life,
Yeah.
Right, I was being serious. Like, do you think like people want to follow like the decisions?
Oh, you're being
you make?
Serious. Yeah. They do. No, they really do. They think that, you know, I think that people want it to make sense, and they want to kind of, you know, like, well, oh, she did this because of this, and then this, and they want to think that you have control over it, and so it's like the decisions you make, and then ultimately it's not just you, you know. Now, the more you start working, the more people actually care, and then all of a sudden it's like, so now you've got five people that you pay and take money from you and tell you what to do, and you're like, I thought I was the boss.
No, by the way, don't worry that you didn't know Jonah was being sincere. Everything he says sounds sarcastic.
It does not.
See that, right?
I honestly thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I
really, it's because of these glasses and he's, you know, and because his tone is like everything sounds sarcastic.
Did it sound sarcastic, or was it the way I look or the way I sound?
At this point, I've had 9 million cups of coffee today and like 4 hours of sleep.
And your molecules are vibrating.
And no water.
Yeah, I didn't have
and no food.
Well, can't help with that.
So, you know, we're fine.
Jonah, by the way, is like one of the sweetest guys you could ever know. He just looks like he'd be a dick. Is that a compliment?
I don't know. I don't think it is.
You can twist it. You can twist if you think hard enough.
Yeah.
You'll be able to.
Well, I have always said that being a dick with a smile just means you have charm.
That's right.
That's
true. And they say that girls like dicks.
That's true.
They do.
Some don't, though.
Two ways. Some don't.
Some of them suck them to get jobs.
Yeah, they do.
According to the internet.
How many, Chris? Because you're really stuck on the four dick thing.
League's four.
Barber cock quintet.
I like to be the pinwheel at the center of a cock.
I'm trying to think of that would go.
Around.
We both messed up our dick jokes. What's happening
to us?
Damn
it! What's the word? We've fallen so far. God, 10 years ago I would have been right on that. Now I'm like, what are the mechanics? I need a whiteboard so I can map out.
Barber cock quintet. Who's ever heard of that?
His dick joke. One of my favorite things that ever happened when we did the Nerdist TV show was you and Guillermo were there, and we were we were doing a promo. And I, half kiddingly, I was like, and we'd been there for a while, so half kiddingly, I was like, don't worry about this, guys. I'm really good at prompter.
Oh, shit.
I was trying to say...
You are good at prompter.
I was trying to say, like, we'll get through this quickly, but it really came off like a guy who takes one dumb part of his job really seriously. Yeah. And I said it, and of course, immediately, I was like, tonight on The Nerdist Show, it's Katie... fuck. And I fucked it up immediately.
For a while, I think.
Yeah. Like, I fucked it up
for
a couple
weeks.
Times.
It was just weeks. Weeks. Then I got, yeah. Fucking it up.
We didn't get out of there for like a month. And I was so flustered, and I'm like, God damn it, she's gonna think I'm a total asshole. But I was half kidding, but I wanted them to know that we were gonna get through it quickly. And I think I even tweeted at you later, like, I'm really good at prompter.
You are really good at prompter. Like, so good at prompter.
It's a very specific skill now.
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's right up there with four dick juggling. It's amazing.
No, wait a minute. Are they, like, disembodied and you're juggling four?
Yeah, that's what I was...
Or is it just like...
How she got the dicks, I'll never know.
I don't know. Like, have you ever like tried to swim through kelp and it's just like
it's
you're
just,
like Wah.
I'm swimming through dicks.
Yeah.
It's like how a porn star in a gangbang.
That's
feels
right. It's
like.
it's a dick net and
it's a
tuna cannery.
You can't swim through it.
You can't swim through
you
a dick
can't
net.
Swim
you
through
can
a
never.
Dick net.
You get just like see people just caught
you
up.
Yeah. You can't. It's really hard.
In all seriousness, guys, thousands of dolphins die every year from getting their bottlenoses caught in dick nets in our oceans.
Yeah.
We are raising money to save these poor dolphins.
We are from the dick nets.
From the dick nets. Yeah. Stop the dick nets.
You know that at some point when they were coming up with like Dragnet, they were like, we could call it dick nets.
Do we know that they did that? They didn't seem like a fun
they
bunch.
No. They did, because they were all called dicks.
That's true.
And it's nets.
That's true.
See?
Oh my God, totally. But was that a big euphemism in the 50s?
Dicks?
Dick?
Maybe yeah, I mean, like as a private eye or like a detective, but...
I don't know. So. Is there some irony in Dick Tracy in the sense that he's Dick and he's also kind of a dick?
I think so,
when
yeah.
Did Dick
okay,
become,
so then maybe...
When did Dick become penis?
I don't know.
Can we
get the etymology of Dick, please?
Yeah.
Can we get the slang
private
etymology?
Dick, that was around for a long time.
It was
private
right
dick.
About when twerking made it into the dictionary.
Yes, exactly.
Dictionary.
Dictionary. Look at
come
that.
Come on, guys. Dicks are everywhere.
Dicks are everywhere.
Webster's Dictionary
describes
dick
cock
as a dick. Everything. Everything is just...
I don't know. I don't know because that's one of those ones where I don't know where it came from.
Yeah. Like, when was the last time a guy said, please call me Dick? Like
yeah,
a guy
I don't
named
know.
Richard, you know?
A friend of mine was
right, because they don't dig.
No one would do that anymore. Please don't call me Dick.
Just don't call me Dick.
Yeah.
Don't call me at all.
A friend of mine was trying to reintroduce the word prick into vernacular.
I love prick.
Because
I love
it,
prick too.
But
yeah, even like
someone's going to take that and make it a soundbite, and you're going to be sorry you said it.
I like when Dicknet was
Katie Sackhoff said in a recent interview, I love prick. Oh no!
Fantastic.
Riddick. Guys.
Hey.
Oh, no. His real name is totally Richard.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's Rid Richard.
First. The name came first. I can't find an exact year.
Come on. Internet better.
Internet.
You can find this, Katie. I believe in you.
Maybe I should check. Can I get on my AOL from that computer?
1890, it says.
1890?
Yeah.
Where the name came from.
Yeah, no, like the court, it's slang.
So, it's the Old West.
Before that,
of course.
The name was... Dick was like in the 13th and 14th centuries.
Hmm. But the name...
Yeah, the name was around 1890.
I don't remember...
So, you gotta now question every person who named their kid Dick.
After that.
And yeah. Richard, after 1890.
Yeah.
Really?
They would know.
Because they should have known.
I never saw it on Deadwood, so that's why I didn't think it was part of that vernacular.
Did they use Dick? Prick?
They used cock and prick, yeah.
I like prick with a little bit of like an E sound. Prick.
Well, that's sort of Al Swearengen-esque.
Yeah.
But my friend said you can't say it without doing the Sinatra voice. Like, yeah, so with these dames and one of them grabbed my prick. Like, it just sounds like a... It just sounds like a Sinatra word.
And then you hit somebody with your mitt.
Hit someone with a mitt and knock them in the gams.
Knock them in the gams.
And then everyone gets at it and goes to the juke joint. When did you guys shoot Riddick? Is this one of these movies where you shot it like a year ago and then you forgot about it and then now it's just like a month of Riddick.
It's like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
October. No, wait. I'm totally lying right now. It was February.
Why would you lie
so
to me?
So it's like a year and a half ago. Yeah. Yeah. A year and a half ago. It was... we finished filming that 2 days... Or I did 2 days before my first season of Longmire. So I went straight from Montreal to Santa Fe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, like, you know how you described the crying in the center of the room because you're so tired?
Yeah.
It was, like, the first four episodes of me of Longmire. I think I was, like, in the hospital once because I was so tired and just, like, sick. Just sick. Jeez. Because I just didn't stop. And Oculus was in there somewhere.
Are you a workaholic type, or is it just like, well, all these jobs come up, so I'm just going to – I like working and I like these jobs, so.
Yeah. You know, I think I've always kind of understood that this was a finite thing and that at some point, you know, people are going to not want me to do it as maybe as regularly as they do now. So I would be stupid to not keep working, I think, you know, because I don't know. They say at 40 –
oh, the business is so shitty to women.
Yeah. So it's weird, but I mean, it's been.
Do
like
they really
this...
say that? Do you feel like that? Do you feel the ticking clock?
Yeah. And yeah, there was a big agency that shall remain nameless that said that they didn't want to represent me because they saw no value in women, only men and directors.
Holy shit.
Someone said that to you?
Pretty much.
Oh my
Pretty
God.
Much. Yeah.
That's got to feel weird too, just because, like, you did the where you played a mom. To someone who is, unless that's a weird thing.
He's not being sarcastic right now.
No, not at all. No. Like, to Karen.
Karen, who is, what, like 4 or 5 years younger than you?
Yeah.
Karen's
yeah.
probably 24 or 5.
Yeah.
And you're 31-ish?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Yeah. I was like 32 when I played the role. I'm 33 now. And they were, as she and Brenton Thwaites play my kids grown up.
Brenton Thwaites?
Thwaites. I always call him Thwaites, and then people get really mad
Thwaites.
At me.
Thwaites.
Thwaites with a W.
Is he British?
He is Australian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cloth.
And
You should just fucking spike your headphones and leave after that.
Right? Just drop it and fucking walk out.
Well, what's it look like from the peak, buddy?
Well, this is it.
How are you going to get down?
Oh, God, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God, sorry.
I hope. I know that most of the interviews are probably not belly laughs in a lot of the Riddick interviews that you've been doing lately.
Probably not. My sister, I was in the car with my older sister, who is, this world is so completely foreign to her. I mean, she's only come to California to visit me like twice. And so she comes to the Riddick premiere. My whole family went, and she came with me on my press day, my foreign press day. And so I'm doing all these interviews, and she's listening to me like doing work in the corner. And then on the way home, I was doing phone interviews on speaker. And at one point she forgot we were on speaker, and she went, "They asked the same questions,
oh,
Katie."
Shit.
I was like, oh my God. Oh. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Losing you. Oh my God, it was amazing.
Foreign press day. My name is Benito with the Italian press. How many cocks did you suck? Come on, man.
Come on.
What are you doing? Seriously.
Is this the cliche international press day? It's like we just bring in all the cartoon characters from all over the world.
It's a me, Mario. It's time for the pizza.
That's like, now I want to go see Cars.
Adorable.
Yeah.
You're an Oregonian, right?
I am an Oregonian.
Fucking love Portland.
I fucking love it too.
What part of Oregon?
Well, St. Helens, which is me and Holly Madison are from St. Helens, Oregon. She's, I think, a year younger than me.
Yeah.
Which is a little shocking.
Wait, what part is St. That's north?
It's
middle.
It's across the river from like Rainier, which I don't think that helps
you at
all.
No, Rainier.
Okay.
I know. Yes.
Okay.
I've seen it from the way
to Seattle.
Oh, if you've never had a Rainier cherry, my friend, you are missing out on the
really
cherry of cherries. Them. Rainier cherries are fucking delicious.
They pop in your mouth beautifully.
They absolutely, they're delicious. But Oregon is such gorgeous country. How many cherries did you? Every time the girlfriend and I go up to Portland, it's one of those places where you go, like, we should just buy a house up here. Just a nice, small house for a couple hundred thousand
dollars.
And you can. You really can.
You can. Yeah. You can.
Still.
You can call my dad.
Yes. Is your dad in real estate?
My dad's a builder.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
What does he build? Usually yeah. with like the local pine or...
I don't know.
No?
I don't
or is
know.
It no? Like, it's like...
I like the read on that.
I don't know.
Never really
legit
thought
legit quest.
He builds a very don't sturdy, good house for less money than the competitors. No, I think my dad is, you know, when the shit hit the fan in 2008, I think my dad's the only independent builder that managed to stay in business in the Northwest. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty proud of him. He started building apartments immediately and made this transition out of houses into apartments and then slowly now back into houses.
Wow. Is there some kind of builder mafia?
He seamlessly, it's called the Builders 200 or 500 Club.
Oh, wow.
Seriously exists, shit. By the way. Yeah, no, I think that he's just smart. My dad's completely self-made, and, you know, his dad passed when he was really young, and he just really, he worked his ass off. So it's kind of cool. So he built houses.
And then does he understand at all what you do, or does he think it's like, oh, that's cute, you're doing what you want to do, or does he really, like, understand it?
When I first moved here, he was so upset because he wanted me to be an environmental lawyer to go against all the spotted owl people that were suing him.
Oh, shit.
He wanted to use you to...
I was like, Dad, he's like, you're the smart one, Katie. You have to, which is really sad, actually, for my brother and sister. Yeah, I'm the smart one. I don't know what that says, but... he was like, Kwan, you got to do this. And then I'm the only one that didn't stay and work for the family business. So
you could write a play about... The lawyer who sues the...
I could play a lawyer.
Because fuck those owls, man.
Right, you don't say that and go back to Oregon. and live long, because they're stoned and they're hippies, but they will fucking
take you out.
They will
fuck you up. You don't fuck with these owls.
You will never be found down on Burnside.
That's weird. Yeah. A second ago, you didn't seem lucid, and then I said, fuck the owls, and then I get attacked by all these crazy... like you,
right, exactly.
You walk down downtown Portland, and it's just... It's so funny to see the juxtaposition of what is ostensibly kind of a business district,
right,
and then the Lost Boys.
Yeah. I mean, there were areas where my parents were like, you cannot go anywhere near that. Scratch that 15 blocks this way of that,
yeah,
like forever. I mean, and it keeps changing. Like they keep.
It's like they have nowhere to go.
It's a very,
they're nomadic.
It's a very interesting, yeah. And, you know, if I have to say, if I ran away from home, I would go to California.
Weather's
because
weather.
It's nicer.
Yeah.
Would you not?
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah.
Because
I would make my
a
way.
A good chunk of the year.
South.
A good chunk of the year, you're going to be out in horrible
rain.
Elements.
300 days out of the year, it's going to rain on
Is
you.
Portland that bad, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
We were just in Seattle for PAX, which Bumbershoot was having at the same time. Fucking gorgeous weather.
Stunning Seattle.
Hot, but sunny the entire time. But Portland... I don't know, Portland. I thought Seattle's weather was worse than Portland's.
They're very similar. The difference is that Portland's a valley, so it's actually surrounded by mountains. So in the summer it cooks, and you kind of maybe potentially could be blocked by some of that weather. And Seattle is because it's right
around
on the water. It just gets
some of them smarts right there.
What?
That's going
what?
On. That's some of them smarts right there.
Yeah,
we've been talking about weather patterns.
Yeah.
But we're going up to Portland in like a week, in a couple of weeks.
Love that city.
Chloe loves it. And it's her birthday, and so I was going to take her to Portland for her birthday, and her favorite tattoo artist lives up there.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my God. Who is it? Because I need to get a new tattoo.
Her name is Alice Kendall.
Okay.
And
what's
Alice,
her shop called?
Can you look up Alice Kendall, please, Katie? Yes, I will plug that shop because they're fucking awesome.
Go for it.
And,
you going to finally get one?
Nope. Nope, not going to do it because... Because
your body's in temple?
Infinity Tattoo.
Infinity Tattoo.
Okay.
Yeah, Alice
not
Kendall.
At all. No tattoos.
No, not
never
one.
Never going to happen.
No, because I just feel like I would get it and then be like, I got to scrape this off. I changed my mind. There's only one design that I've really thought that I would...
What is it?
Is it a dick net?
Well... It's a dick net, but my dick is the middle of it.
It's
so
amazing.
It's
like you're
seamlessly.
Yes. My dick is the nose of the dolphin. It's stuck in it. Like.
It's almost worth it now.
Right?
It's almost worth it now.
That was one of those.
And
there's
blowholes on the back.
Yay!
That was
a moment where I wish this podcast was video just to see Katie
just doing the swimming motion.
Making the noise.
Yeah. Yeah, the springs work was amazing. Yeah. And then I could just like take it out at rallies and be like, don't let this happen to your home. But one of my favorite tattoos I ever saw was a guy, this might be on the internet somewhere, but he had a tattoo of Popeye on his stomach, and his dick was also Popeye's dick. And it worked because of Popeye's like squat, plump limbs. The proportions of it totally made sense.
That's great.
That was a lot of commitment.
That's a big commitment, though.
Yeah,
that's a big commitment.
So the design that I think that I would get would be, I would maybe get the Time Lord symbol from the Doctor's pocket watch
back here on
the Doctor's watch. Maybe up on the arm or the shoulder.
Yeah,
I'm never gonna do it. Chloe is. Every time I joke and go, I'm going to get a tattoo, she's like, let's fucking do it right now.
You know the best place to get a tattoo so it's not seen is like on the rib cage on a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's a very interesting place. Like, people don't see. I have one down the side of my body that people just never see.
I feel like that would really hurt right there. That's tender skin that just touches bone.
Yeah. Yeah, it hurts.
People rarely see my tattoo. Just because usually I'm wearing the long sleeve shirts there.
Yeah, Jonah's got the jackass penguin.
Yeah, it's now officially the South African penguin.
Oh.
It is now officially a South African penguin.
It was
a jackass derogatory. It turns out there was because there was like the jackass penguins and there was the South African penguins, and they realized it was just so close that they.
What are the jackass penguins?
Oh, this one's the little guys.
The little guys?
Yeah, these are the little. They're
but
about
they're
like
called
that tall.
Like jackass penguins?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm hmm.
Really?
Yeah, because the when they make a noise, it sounds kind of like a donkey.
Oh.
Jackass penguins.
Interesting.
Got it. Yeah. I thought like Johnny Knoxville, like yes.
No.
One in the asshole.
Yeah. That was Steve-O dressed
as
a penguin.
That was a different threat. I was going for the show all about the penguins that were doing death-defying stunts and stapling
jackass
things
penguins.
To their butts.
Yeah.
But yours is something that actually would happen on the show.
One of them fucked a penguin.
One of them fucked a penguin.
The thing is, your version.
Look at this face work.
He kept trying to fly away, but then realized that they don't
fly. No.
And then he just went. And then they're like, "Oh, it's a jackass."
Thing is, penguins do stuff much like the jackass guys, where they'll eat food and then throw it up into one of their other mouths and then have
so it's very, very similar to what they do, and they take a smaller penguin and then throw it through a plate glass window
all the time. I could see that happening.
One of the weirdest tattoos I ever saw was I was going through an old Vice magazine. I was just looking through the do's and don'ts section, mm-hmm. and there was a picture of a guy like holding up his shirt, and it was this line drawing of like an old timey like burlesque lady, and one of her nipples was his nipple.
Conflicted.
Real weird. And then I looked at the guy, and then I realized there's a guy I grew up with in Hawaii.
You knew the guy?
Yeah,
really?
I knew the dude. Yeah.
That's Alston. Awesome.
Did you ever contact him and
no,
say,
I
hey,
haven't
sweet,
seen, I haven't
sweet tit tat?
Yeah, I haven't seen him since. But it was like, I was just like, that's stuck in my brain.
Do you guys watch MMA?
Not really.
Okay, so you don't know who Brock Lesnar is?
I know the name.
Okay, so Brock Lesnar has a tattoo of a sword on his chest, and it looks like a big dick.
Not intentional?
And it's right here.
Not intentional.
And it looks like he put a dick on his chest.
Yeah. And it's shooting,
and it's
these,
shooting
this fluid of justice. Yeah.
It's actually supposed to be blood.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's they ran blood. Out of ink.
I've watched some MMA before. Like if someone has a party, like oh, we're gonna watch this big thing tonight. But I'm not. I don't really consume physical bouts of sporting activity.
I get that. Either does my fiance, and I always
good for him.
I'm usually the one watching like the sport in the house, and I took him to.
You're making him get your beers.
Yeah, I'm like, give me a beer. I took him to his first MMA fight last weekend when we were at the Harley 110th anniversary in Milwaukee. My friend Josh was actually fighting, and I took him to the fight, and he was like, I've never seen you so nervous for somebody else in my entire life, because I was like walking and pacing and like pulling my hair out of my head.
Well, that shit's because that fucking shit's real.
And when it was all over, I was like, oh god, okay, it's good, I'm totally fine.
Yeah. I mean, people
like,
that was crazy.
Bludgeon each other.
Yeah.
Do you like the do you ride motorcycles now since the Trisha Helfer incident?
I did. I immediately went down and got my license.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Like within months. So now we ride together. We have a gang.
Sweet.
That we call the Acting Outlaws. It's very tough.
I've never heard of such a pussy-sounding gang name.
Yeah. Well, when the two members have pussies, it actually works. So,
I like you a lot, yeah. Katie Sagerhoff. I like you a lot.
You guys should. You guys, your gang name should be, since it's just only girls, should be Ms. 13.
What?
Which is a playoff of the brutal Mexican gang from East LA, MS-13.
No, oh let's God. Not do that
let's
at all.
Let's not do that. Don't
wait.
They will cut me. They
no,
will cut me.
Let's wait.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's take away the real aspect of actually doing that and think that that was a pretty good joke.
It's
let's
no,
laugh instead of just
it's no cloth.
You should call yourself like Mr. Crip.
Mr. Crip.
Hey, y'all, Mr. Crip.
Hi, I'm Miss Blood.
Oh, I don't like you.
I don't like you either.
Sell it over some checkers.
Yeah.
Hey, bitches, it's Miss 13. She's like, this is
my oh, no. Hey, like, everybody, hey. We're all going to die after this podcast.
We are going to, they're going to be outside and they're going to cut us.
That's right. No. And the people after the Spotted Owl comment are going to hold us down.
Yeah.
And then for once, they're going to come together and we're going to bring them together.
Right now.
And then we're going to create world peace from this podcast.
Will.
This
is it's where amazing.
This is where it starts.
This is where it starts.
Yeah.
What are you going to do after all this crazy Riddick Press stuff flows over you?
Right, yeah. Well, after Toronto Film Festival for Oculus, I'm going to come home and take actually 2 months off.
Nice!
Yeah. I have a sick dog at home that's passing. So,
no.
And the doctors gave him a couple months, so he and I are just going to chill. We're going to, like, eat pizza. Oh, and
my
like,
mom just went through that.
It's horrible. It's, after, like, 17 years. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, my mom went through that, and Chloe went through that, too.
My neighbor.
And same kind of thing, where it's just, like, 13, 14, 15-year-old.
Yeah, my neighbor's dog, 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because, like, up until this moment, like, he's like the little engine that could dog. Like, everything that's gone wrong or could go wrong did go wrong. And he's always come through it, like, it's okay, mom. I was mauled by a pit bull, but I'm fine.
Oh, like, what kind of dog is he?
He's like a little chihuahua wiener dog thing.
Gotcha, weenie. Oh.
His name's Meatball.
Oh.
He's awesome. I got him at a kill shelter when I was like 19. He's just amazing. He's the coolest dog ever. And then all of a sudden he gets like lung disease and it's like, and he's going to be gone
yeah.
in like months. So I've decided to take some time off just because I'm not going to get that back. And like, I just kind of want to watch him and make sure that he's okay and that like he's comfortable. And I think you need to be there to kind of know if it's time to make that decision.
Yeah.
So, and then got a movie potentially in November that we're working on the deal for. So.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry about your pooch.
It's okay. He's 17 years, dude.
That's like, a good...
Yeah, it's a good amount
you
of
know?
Time.
Like, I'm past the crying at this point. Now I'm just kind of like, let's have fun, man.
Yeah.
You want pizza? Yeah. Eat it. Eat
that's
it. You want to eat your brother? Do it. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, I had to have the the tone just shifted dramatically. Dick nets, you guys. Dick nets.
I know. I was like, should I bring this up? Should I? Yeah.
No. It's good. It's good. I think it's important. If anyone's going through this, they will feel comforted to know that someone
right.
else is. But my, you know, I had to have the conversation with my mom because her dog kind of like she wasn't sure for a while,
yeah.
and then it was like we had the call where she was like, I feel like I should do this. You know, it was me basically comforting her that she was making the right decision,
right.
and I was like. Can't walk anymore and he's can't go to the bathroom and you gotta this is the most loving thing you can do for this little guy.
And that's a hard thing to do too. It's really hard. I mean it's weird. I've never had an animal before, so this is gonna be
well it sounds like you've had one for about 14 years.
Yeah, something like that. You just made me a lot younger than I am, which thank you.
No, you said you got him at 19 and you said you're 33, so I just
true.
Did
that's
the quick
true.
Math.
That's true. Yeah.
Remember when you could.
Remember when I was smart and I knew weather patterns?
Listen, we were talking about your dog. You don't have to
we
do
were.
Math immediately
it's
afterwards.
Totally fine. It's totally fine.
Tell us about your dog. Now,
hey.
If a train leaves Chicago, it's 7 miles an hour.
But I backed out of. I was supposed to go to a convention in Montreal and I just backed out because I'm like, I just can't. It's too far away. If something goes wrong, I can't get back, so.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at first people were like, what the fuck? What do you hate your fans? And you're like, I'm going for my dog. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a really bad person right now.
It's like, now I'm going to bring it down again. So I had cancer 6 years ago.
What?
And no, it's totally fine. I'm fine.
Oh, okay, good.
It was thyroid cancer. They just took out my thyroid. But people would like say really horrible things. And just to be really funny, I'd be like, I have cancer. They would just be like, what the fuck?
You're allowed
no,
that, though.
No coming back from that.
And my fiance would be like, you really should do the dishes. I'm like, I have cancer.
I said.
Really bad. And it was right around Christmas time. And like everyone was like, why didn't you like make cookies this year? And I was like, I have cancer. Cancer. Do you want cancer cookies?
And then they go, yeah, I want to get them before it's too late.
What do you want for Christmas? Not cancer.
Exactly. It was pretty bad. I used it for so long that after a while, like Trisha and my girlfriends were like, Katie, you've been fine for 2 years.
But remember when
I wasn't?
Remember
when I was the only one out of us who'd ever had cancer? Remember that?
Man.
Yeah.
I don't have cancer now. I have the worst luck. Why does everything have to not happen
now
to me?
Now I have to do the fucking dishes. God damn it. Yeah.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that you're okay. Did you know for a long time, or was it like, did you weren't feeling well and you went in and they were like, this has to come out now?
It was right at the end of Battlestar and I was like really, really like tired and sick and I knew something was wrong and like doctors wouldn't believe me and I just was adamant about it. And then they found it and they realized that my thyroid was being impeded by the nodules on it and just took it out. So, yeah. No, it's all right. I'm fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean,
so
I have had work done.
I have had,
totally.
Everyone's getting their thyroids out.
Everyone's doing it because then you get to take the pills and they can make you thinner.
It makes your neck look sleeker.
It does.
To have your
and then
thyroid.
They can just pull the skin together at the same time. You know how they say you can't get work done on your neck? Not true.
You know what's funny is it
sucks that shit in just like a C-section.
A cancer section.
That's this way.
What? I'm sorry. Can you please point me to the
awesome?
You know you look at people that have a lot of work done, and you're like, God damn it, never will I do that. And then you realize that there are a lot of things you say when you're younger about getting older, and then you start to get older, and you're like, and then you start feeling like someone's just slowly shoving you toward a cliff.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, I don't know, I have to, you know, like, I really just hope that I deal with it gracefully when it happens. Because you're never ready
happens.
For
it. I was just
fuck off, Jonah.
It wasn't sincere, it was just a really good spot.
I know. No, I'm 41.
Well, someone just told me that midlife crisis is when all the doors that you've had opened your entire life, all the ones you haven't gone through, close.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, fuck, that's actually kind of true.
Yeah,
like,
I could have
like
done
they,
that.
Right? They just, they all close at once, and you're like, fuck!
Yeah, it's like being at the mall, and you're like, I'm just going to go back for one more thing. Where'd everyone go?
Yeah.
Why did I wait so long?
Right.
So that's why it's important to take these movies get the tattoos.
Look at that and spend time with your dog.
Spend time with your dog.
You know, all of that shit.
When are you getting married?
I have no idea.
Okay, good.
No idea.
Doesn't he know you had cancer? What's the problem?
I actually did that for a long time.
You did?
At this point, it's really bad.
Listen,
really
honey,
bad.
If the cancer thing didn't work.
I feel like I'm manifesting it to come back because I'm here all the time. We don't know. Like, it's after 8 years together, you kind of like, you know, you don't want the person next to you that you love more than anything to miss an opportunity. And so if something comes along for him or for myself, it's kind of like how do you plan a wedding, because what if so and so calls, or what if this happens, or
there's
so
never going to be a good time. It's like vacations, weddings, everything. There's never a good having kids. There's never really a good.
There really isn't. So I kind of figured that, you know, and then you look at the price of it, and you're like, that's like a fucking new deck for our house.
Well, not only that, but they purposely fuck you because you can call and go, hi, I want to get some flowers, and they go, great, it's $100. Oh, they're for a wedding, $9,000. Like, what? It's the same flowers. Okay. What the fuck?
Yeah, they've done studies. They like jack it up 30% or something like that.
Yeah, no. When we were prepping for our wedding, like Dee was just like, don't tell anybody. Just say we're having a party.
Uh-huh.
We're having a party, and you know, we were able to bring it in at real cheap.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, I don't know what I think personally.
Listen, here's the point. It's if you don't feel like, because you probably, I was in a relationship for 7 years, and people, and it's usually people who are already married who are like, when are you going to get married?
Yeah.
Like, why are you trying to force me into your club? Maybe we're happy the way we are. Yeah. Why do we have to do what you did?
Yeah. No, it's weird. And they're like, well, don't you want babies? I'm like, you're right. Because I have to get married to
that's
get
right.
knocked up.
That's what, listen.
It's been proven through time.
What happens is, once you are legally married, God will activate your ovaries, and that's when the egg production
totally.
starts.
Because then you start to get people saying, well, don't wait too long. You are 33.
That sucks so bad.
And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Come on, you guys.
Yeah. Leave me alone.
You got time.
I have tons of time.
You'll be fine.
It's totally fine.
Are you an anxious type, or are you pretty cool with stuff?
It depends on what it is. You know? I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't, I'm going to go ahead and say just anxious.
Just anxious
in
general?
Yeah, I'm going to.
You shouldn't drink coffee if you're anxious. It just makes it way worse.
It's okay, because I drink a bottle of liquor at night, and it just takes me back down.
Well, again. But then... people are not getting the space work. People are not getting to experience your hand space work, which is superb. Which is superb.
Yeah.
Were you ever a hypochondriac before?
Totally.
Cure you of it, or did it make it worse?
I wasn't until I had cancer, and now all of a sudden scared of everything. Like, everything. I mean, it's pretty intense how scared of everything I am. You do not want to be the person flying next to me. I usually try to find someone on the plane that's a worse flyer than I am, because then all of a sudden I'm the hero. Like, you're going to be fine. It's totally fine, that fucking bump. You're going to be fine. We're going to be awesome.
I just had to do that with my mom, because my mom is a terrible flyer. She hates flying.
Oh, I hate it.
And I fly almost every fucking weekend.
Right.
And so I used to hate it, but I really don't give a shit now. Yeah. Like, I go to sleep on planes. And, But I'm with my mom in every little bump. And it's funny that now I'm impatient with her, but 10 years ago I had to drink like a six pack to get on a fucking plane. And now I'm like, right. Mom, it's fine. It's like we're going through water. Just to pretend it's like water.
Right.
She's like, but we're so high up. And I go, I know, it's fine.
So fine. I love when someone goes, we're 3 miles in the air. I'm like, you're a dick.
Well, really, it's like six.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about
it. Okay, all right.
No, I usually get on planes and like drink. A lot. Yeah. It's great. A year ago, my thyroid medication was off and I was having massive panic attacks like all the time. And I'd never had panic attacks before. And all of a sudden I was like, I guess it's just a new phase in my life. I guess I'm just crazy. Like, this is gonna fuck me. And like, they were so debilitating. I was like going to the emergency room and I was like, oh my God. And I went to the emergency room one time, and I was freaking out. And the guy's like, why didn't you just take a Xanax? And I was like, because I've had 3 beers, and it can kill you if you take that. And he goes, okay, so you don't need suicide watch. That's good. I'm like, you don't fucking tell me that. Like, what if I said I took a Xanax? You were going to put me on a 72-hour hold or something?
Yeah. It's crazy. Oh, man.
Yeah, and then they took me down, and they just completely went away. I was like, wow, that's awesome. So
years and years ago, I had really bad back problems, and and the doctor, I had two different kinds of medication, and I didn't really understand anything about, like, take this,
right.
Don't take. First of all, if you're listening to this, don't take take pain. Like, just be careful, because people just like, it's a medical thing. It's I'll just pop this and then I'll chase it. Like, because like even if I was to go on and see, like, I took a Vicodin once, I took it a couple times for my back, and then I would go, can I take a Tylenol with this? Because I guess it has Tylenol in it. And then you see all these forms where people are like, well, I took a Xanax, and then I had a Vicodin, and then I took this other thing, and now I'm kind of feeling that. It's like they're taking these cocktails of drugs.
Massive amount of drugs.
But there was one time where, and I'm so thankful that this happened, because it cured me of ever, like, wanting to take pills again. But I took a Vicodin one day, and then the next day my bad back was still bad. So I took a Valium or something, like a muscle relaxer.
Right.
And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had the most terrifying, like, I think I'm going to go jump off my balcony, and I don't know if I can stop myself. Like, the most horrifying, like, my brain was firing in a way that I knew, like, this is not normal.
Yeah.
And then I found out, like, you're not supposed to mix benzodiazepines with these. You know, like, it was some sort of there's a half-life of the pill, and if it's not out of your system after a day, and you should never take these two things.
Crazy.
It was the only time that I've ever had, like, a legitimately suicidal thought that felt mechanical. Like, my brain was like, you're going to do this, and I can't stop myself. Like, so please, people, do not mix drugs, pills.
Don't do it. No. It's so, it's crazy.
They will fuck you up.
Oh, it's insane.
Chris, that's not really saying, people are going to hear that and get excited.
No. No, it'll fuck you up the bad way.
In a bad way. In a way you won't come back.
No, it's Chris Howick said taking two kinds of pills gonna fuck me up real good.
But after Katie Sackhoff said she loved them pricks.
It was awesome. It was a great podcast. It was amazing. No. Awesome. Wow. My publicist is going to call and be like, you just admitted that you were like on a 72-hour run. I'm like, no, I didn't. I said they could have put me on a 72-hour
run. Look, it's on TMZ now. People are going to go see Riddick. This is good for everyone. Good.
Oh, the places will go.
Yeah, no. Then you're going to be like, I have cancer.
Yeah.
I had cancer.
I had cancer.
Yeah, I'm always afraid of that one too. Like, I'm always like, I don't feel good. It's probably, you know, so many times that Chloe's had to say to me, like, and now it's just to the point where I'll just turn her and go, and she'll go, you don't have cancer.
Are you a hypochondriac?
A little bit.
Yeah, me too.
A little bit, yeah. I just, I'm too, I think part of the nerd brain is being too aware of yourself.
I think that's part of being artistic, too.
Maybe.
You know, I think that you have to be kind of aware of that, and it opens yourself up to being more aware of your body and how you feel and what's going on, and this is weird. That feels different.
That's not normal.
Right.
Oh, this has got to be a...
And oh, my God, I'm dying. My spleen's going to fall out of my body.
But you start cross-referencing from the bottom of the list, like all of the worst things. It's never like, oh, maybe I slept wrong. Yeah, it's like shoulder cancer or whatever.
Right.
But a doctor told me once that if you hear hooves clopping behind you, it's probably a horse and not a zebra. In other words,
yeah, right.
It's the zebra is the... I mean, in this country.
Right, it's,
It
does not work on a savannah.
No. Yeah.
Then it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But the other guy who's usually on the podcast, but he's out of town right now, Matt, never goes to the doctor. He'll just be like, he'll just casually go like, yeah, I've been shitting blood for like 2 days. And we're like, go to the doctor. He's like, I'll be fine. And then I passed out. I'm like, why don't you fucking go to a doctor?
Yeah. There's two sides. I wish I could be down the middle. I'm going to get hypnotized.
Do you think that'll work?
To do that. That's how I quit smoking.
That's how Pardo quit smoking.
Really?
Yeah.
Most amazing experience ever. It was amazing.
Well, because
it worked once?
Three different sessions. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. No, it was great. So I wanted to go back to him to get over the fear of flying, actually, because I obviously have to fly so much for work.
You're not worried about just turning over the keys to your brain that you're going to wake up and just, like, your tits will be out, and you're like what happened?
Why am I fucking my doctor?
What, am I at the dentist?
What? God.
You're like a mountain goat today. You just jumped from peak to peak.
That's amazing. Oh, God.
Jonah is on en fuego today.
Yeah, you are.
Don't point it out. That's not going to go away.
It's so amazing. Remember when you said the thing a second ago and then the other
thing? Just let it pass.
Thing.
Just let it pass.
Oh, my God. You're
we'll
the
reminisce when we stop.
Everything you say from here on out is going to be gold.
Once we step record, we'll reminisce then.
We'll talk about it. What was your favorite joke today, Katie?
Someone's going to tune into the next podcast and be like, he was fucking horrible.
Yeah, what happened?
It's worse.
I expected much more. I don't remember what I was just talking about.
What were we talking about?
What were we just talking about,
guys?
We were talking about...
No.
You hypnotized us.
Yeah.
So you're not worried about just handing over the keys to your brain?
No, because you're aware of what's going on around you. And, like, you can... like, the other day, like, I was aware I had to... One day that I had to sneeze. And I knew I had to sneeze. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to ruin my hypnotizing because I'm going to fucking sneeze in the middle of this thing. And then my eyes are going to open. And that's it. I'm going to start smoking again. Like, and... but what's in... I didn't sneeze because my body was so relaxed and so hypnotized. But I was aware of it. So you're still, you know, the other day I had an itch on my foot and I itched it with my other foot and like
and you were fine.
Hmm.
So you can move. It's just that your body, you have to be open to it. Like, you know, a girlfriend of mine was like, did everything. And I wouldn't go under. I wouldn't go under. I was like, do it. Why am I not going under? And I'm like, well, maybe because you were threatening the doctor and like being like, put me under. So you have to be open to it to go under, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I've never been. I mean, I think the experience that I have with hypnosis is the comedy hypnotist who makes people. There was in Vegas. I saw like a X-rated hypnotist, which I couldn't figure
Christ.
Out. Like. You are now a chicken with a dick in its ass. Like, I don't know.
That'd be amazing.
What is that, jackass chicken?
It's
That'd
a jackass
be
chicken.
But he could fly off your dick. He could.
Again, with the flapping of the hands.
That
many
one,
different
though,
flaps.
But that one, though, I had the chicken mouth.
You did do a bit of the chicken mouth at the same time.
I did. you know.
Did you ever do any kind of, were you ever in a comedy group, or did you ever do that?
No, never. Comedy scares the shit out of me.
But you're funny.
Well, you know, in some circles. I had to, Marilyn Rajkub, actually.
Rajkub, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Convinced me to do stand-up comedy at the Comedy Store for the Children's Hospital. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. And she's like, it's just literally called The Lie That You Told, and it could be 20 seconds. And I was like, okay, fantastic. And I couldn't think of what I was going to do, so I wrote 7 pages on a yellow file of every white lie I've ever told in my entire life, and I just got on stage and read it. And it took 15 minutes, and people were dying laughing. So, I mean, that's like, thank God it went over like that, because right before I was supposed to go on, Jenna Elfman was like, I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I have no idea what I'm going to do. And I'd had it memorized, but I was so petrified. And she goes, whatever you do, don't try to be funny. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? What am I supposed to do? Go up there and make them cry? Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, that was my plan. Like, and so I just went up and read it. And it was funny because I kept turning pages, like kept going. Like,
that's fun.
That was junior high. Yeah. So it was fun. That's the only time I've done it, and I don't. Yeah.
Anyone get any video of that?
It's online, but it was hard. It was back in the day with the flip cams.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's all dark.
The
it wasn't
dark
like,
ages.
It wasn't like iPhones weren't out yet.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think.
That's
it was like 98.
Oh yeah, that was
99.
Way before.
The iPhone. Wait, no, God, no, 2000. Jesus Christ, what year are we in?
Is this one of the lies?
2000, yeah. It was 2007.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was a big difference.
It's quite a jump. Those are two really different periods of time there.
Yeah.
In 98, you were like, I don't know, like 18 years old.
Yeah. I'm going to just pretend like I didn't make that mistake at all.
That was good.
I lost it. I fucking lost it for 3 days.
How about this? Okay, obviously your brain just broke, but you'll be fine. But
fine.
Whenever something like that happens, right. You're just doing the chicken.
Gotta get out of here. Just...
Gotta get off this thing.
I have the dick in my ass.
I feel like most of my life is me as a chicken trying to get off the dick that's in my ass.
Yeah, well, Socrates said that we're all just
chickens on dicks.
Dicks, yeah.
We're all dick chickens.
I bet in some part of the world somebody's fucked a chicken before.
Oh, yeah. Probably this one. Yeah. Probably just Reseda. Like, I don't think you'd have to go that far.
That's how the bird flu started.
Yo, somebody got the dick and a chicken.
Mm-hmm. My luck, I would be the chicken flapping, and I'd fly off the dick and land with my mouth on another one. Like top heavy chicken or something.
H6N9. Come on, guys.
It'd be horrible.
What? I'm trying to do the cross reference of every like medical term and fucking dick joke that I can think
Ever?
Of. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's not. That's how we roll around here. Well, we'll talk about Riddick in a sec because I know that that's coming out in a couple days. But what was the Battlestar set? Was it fun or was it serious or was it intense or did you get tired? Like, what was it?
And it was, I think, a little bit of both. You know, like I've never been one person to go to work and like do practical jokes on people because I always feel bad for the crew because the crew's like, are you fucking? I'm now stuck here for another 15
minutes. I had to build
minutes.
This at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Yeah. So I've always kind of felt bad for the crew, but it was a fun set. Like we had we joked around a lot and there was a lot of downtime on that show and a lot of cast members. You know, we had the lot in Vancouver was like filled with our trailers. I mean, there were, you know, like 57 cast members. It was crazy. So, I mean, at any given time, you'd have like 20 trailers all over the place, you know, and they're double bangers. So you'd have tons of people.
Yeah.
I said double banger.
Double
banger. And for some reason, it's never been funny until now. So it was, you know, we had a good time, but it was also really intense. And when it was over and you had like your 2 months off, it was the best 2 months ever because you like slept. So it was kind of nice.
Did you follow Mary McDonnell around? And just do
pick her brain.
Just do dances with wolves, things
all the time.
Like kicking bird. Like did you do the
Tatanka?
All the time.
Tatanka. Remember when you were in that?
Yeah.
Remember when you were in that?
I don't know if it's appropriate to remind someone of when they didn't win an Oscar. Like
remember
you
when
know?
You didn't win that
remember
Oscar?
Remember when you didn't win the Oscar?
I have cancer.
No, she's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. I loved her to death, and she's fantastic.
That's pretty fucking great cast. Like, Battlestar was one of the I think it might have been like the first or one of the first sci-fi series to really like, oh, this is television, but it looks like a movie. Like the effects are like, oh, wow, this actually, that I think that's where everything kind of jumped up a notch for TV sci-fi.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's a really interesting thing because I think that Battlestar Galactica was on at a time where there was television that was opening, these shows were opening doors and just changing television, whether it be The Sopranos or Battlestar. We were all on the air at the same time, and it really was, and even Sex and the City, like these shows that were really changing the way that you watch television. And I think that had Battlestar been on the air now, we probably would have won Emmys. But because it was like ahead of its time, people didn't know how to wrap their brain around a science fiction show that wasn't really science fiction. Well, but it was science fiction, but it was political.
But now it's very commonplace that, you know, that cable shows get nominated for a million Emmys.
Yeah.
And but even just as recently as like 5 or 6 years ago, like really before, I mean, I guess Sopranos was pretty unique in that way.
Yeah.
But it wasn't super common for a lot of other, it's certainly like HBO, but it wasn't like, you know, the Sci-Fi Channel or AMC or like those were not, that was not commonplace.
Right. No, not at all. I mean, now it's like, you know, if a network show, that's, comedies are different, but for dramas, a network show getting nominated is like, I'm sorry, what?
Right.
Yeah. Does anyone even watch that show?
Isn't it weird that there's like
CBS? What?
Well, there's still network. Good for them for trying.
What? So it's it was a great show to be on. It was really cool. And it's what's really great about it is now that like kids that are like 10, 12 years old are coming up and saying that they're huge fans of it when you actually think back, they weren't alive when we started.
Oh, whoa.
Which is very weird.
Yeah, that's when you start freaking out.
Yeah.
My parents used to watch that. They what?
Yeah. I had like a little 9-year-old girl come up to me and say that and her parents were with her, but she had said that the drum, the soundtrack, put her to sleep as a baby, and now it soothes her as like a 9-year-old because when she was born, her parents were taking turns watching episodes during feedings. So this child was like soothed by the drums and the soundtrack of Battlestar.
Fucking Cylon.
Isn't that crazy?
She's a
right?
Cylon.
She glowed. It was really weird.
Man.
But it was so weird to see a 9-year-old come. It was really weird.
Riddick is out in theaters.
Yeah, yeah. Swish.
Yeah.
I'm hugging you from across the table. Oh, fantastic. I used to love the Universal tour, and I got so mad when they took. Did you ever go to the tour when they had the old Cylons, and it was like the first stop?
Oh gosh, yeah. I wouldn't remember. I don't, because I didn't know what they were until I got the show. I'd never seen the original series.
What do you mean?
What?
How could you not have?
Yeah.
This just doesn't even seem possible.
It, the original series was actually on the year before I was born.
Oh man!
So I'd never seen it, and it was one of the only sci-fi shows my dad never showed me.
Are you feeling old now, Chris? Is that what's happening?
I'm still laughing about the joke. Still laughing about the joke. That was fucking bam! Oh, fantastic. You're welcome to come back on the podcast whenever you want.
I don't know if my publicist is going to allow. I'm just kidding.
Your publicist will be fine.
Yeah.
Listen, whenever Matt's out of town, you gotta come sit in. You gotta come sit in with us.
I don't think you can, though, because we're really only looking to have male actors and directors.
That's right.
Right.
So you have to understand, you know.
My career is going nowhere.
I've heard tales that Vin Diesel is a huge D&D guy. Do you know if he is a Dungeons & Dragons?
Could you imagine what's that? he's massive. From what I didn't know this till we were on the Comic-Con panel, and he started talking about how Dungeons and Dragons actually kind of formed his imagination as you know. I don't know when he said he played it. I don't know when in his life it was. I'm not sure. But.
I heard that he has his character's name tattooed across his stomach. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true.
Oh my God.
Does he have a tattoo across his stomach?
No.
Is his character's name Thug Life?
Well, it depends on how far down it is.
Sure.
You know, like I've never
My character's name is Dicknet.
I've never seen that far down on Vin. So I don't know. But on his stomach, like belly button region.
It'd be funny if he just took his penis out and it had his character's name. He's like, what, you don't like D&D? We're like, come on. Come on.
Oh, God.
He seems like a fun... He could be a funny
he'd
guy.
He'd actually probably find that absolutely hysterical. He's amazing. He's really, really funny. And he's very good at, like, taking the piss out of himself. And he laughs more than anyone I know. And it's really kind of terrifying sometimes because his voice is so low. And he's just... I did an interview and someone said that they wanted to, like, they just wanted Vin and his voice to, like, read him, like, like fairy tales. And I was like, that's sort of creepy.
Yeah. Once upon a time.
But fucking, Iron Giant still...
Amazing.
...breaks my heart.
Right?
I mean, fucking amazing movie.
Yeah. No, Vin's a phenomenal actor.
He doesn't realize he's a weapon. He doesn't know. Don't hurt him. He's our friend.
I'm gonna have to go watch Iron Giant again.
It's great.
I've seen it once.
It's a gore. It's such a gorgeous movie.
Brad Bird.
I liked that movie.
What do you wanna? So you probably can't talk about this thing in November yet because it's not a done deal,
and they typically don't appreciate that
when you talk about stuff. Is there anything else as we're sort of gliding this bird in for a landing? Is there any sort of thing
this
that you want to do?
Just coming in for a cock.
Coming in for a cock in the mouth.
Took off from
this
one.
Top heavy chicken.
His waddle's flapping.
He doesn't know where he's doing.
He doesn't know he's a weapon.
He doesn't know.
Fucking raises on his feet. Yeah.
Buck. It's true. Is there anything else you want to do? Like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Like, what have you still? Are you like,
what's your perfect Sunday?
Perfect Sunday. Well, I just don't have one. Anything where I'm still at home in my bed. I love
and not having cancer. That's a good Sunday.
It's a good Sunday. Yeah. Could you imagine if that was my answer? Not having cancer.
Yeah, we get it.
Exactly. Working on, you know, writing, not personally writing, but, you know, I have a lot of ideas in my head and I'm smart enough to know that I'm not a writer. So doing that and working with other writers with some projects that I have going on and optioning books and you know,
nice.
I really want to do a romantic comedy and for some reason, dick humor doesn't work in audition rooms.
It should be hilarious.
Yeah, I know. So I
you could play the quirky friend with that those kind of jokes.
Oh my god, that's fantastic.
The quirky friend is a pretty sweet role to have. Now I know it's not the bank role to have, but the quirky friend, the film doesn't rest on your shoulders.
100%.
You fucking come in, you get to be funny because the other people can't be as funny.
Yeah.
And then you're like, crazy thing, and then you leave. And people always go, oh, but I fucking loved, you know.
And when you're not the lead, you can come in and steal the movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, not purposefully, but like with your, because people aren't expecting it. And you come in and they're like, wow.
And you do that enough times, and then like fucking Melissa McCarthy was the quirky friend a lot. Then like, oh, she's hilarious, let's make her the lead.
Yeah. Well, I always said that like I'd rather be the quirky friend than the pretty lead because the pretty lead. I said that when my face falls and my tits sag, I'm still going to have a job. Yeah. So,
you can always be,
I can always be. It's just some big titty floppy girl. I don't even know what you do with that.
It looks like you're juggling your own elderly boobs at the moment.
My grandmother, when she passed away, she was sitting on the end of her bed and my mom was helping her get dressed and she was just funnier than shit towards the end. And she's sitting there naked and my mom's helping her get dressed and she's grabbing her boobs from the skin and going, 25, 85.
Holy shit.
And amazing, amazing. Like the humor in this woman at the very end to just find something so, I mean, it was just awesome.
That's where you got it.
Yeah, she was pretty funny.
So. Well, again, you're welcome to come back on anytime you want.
Thanks.
Riddick is out
tomorrow. Friday.
Comes out today.
Friday.
Well, because we'll release this on Friday.
Well, today in Europe, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, like in London. You're releasing this
September
on Friday.
6th.
I get it. I wasn't getting the winks and the nudges and the kicks
out
of the fucking table.
We're doing this live.
We should put it up tomorrow. We should put it up Wednesday because that way it gives people a couple days to listen to it and then go see the movie as opposed to they may not listen to it the second it comes out.
I'm. Whether or not they like dick humor, we may lose some viewers.
You will not lose anyone listening to this show, I promise you.
Maybe like, that girl has the worst mouth.
I mean...
You should wash it out with soap or dicks.
No. Dick soaps.
Dick soaps.
Dick-shaped soaps.
I bet they have them at the Pleasure Chest.
My God. You know they have dick-shaped soaps at the Pleasure Chest.
Right next to the dick-shaped candy necklaces.
Yay!
Yay, dick!
Bachelor party!
Yay! It's totally fine. You can suck a dick. You're not married.
When you're a comedian and you show up to do a show and they're like, there's the bachelorette part in the audience, you're always like, no, because they come in with like the dick hats and
wigs
dick
and
straws, and they're fucking just like, it's Shelly's night. She can talk out loud. And you're like, please.
Please don't. Please. Punch Shelly in the face.
Please don't.
Not wrong. It's okay. You're not married yet. You won't kill me.
Someone is committing their lives to this? Like,
I know exactly.
It's usually...
You ever see that person and go, how?
I mean, seriously.
How?
Seriously.
How did that happen?
Who said this was okay?
I read something the other day that was fucking hysterical, that it was about J-Lo and... J-Lo, and I want to say Mariah Carey, but it wasn't. Oh, J-Lo and Madonna, whose boyfriends were both, like, you know, much, much younger than them. And I think it was a tweet. I don't remember what it was. But this person said, so, ladies, it's okay if you're not dating. They may just not be born yet. And I thought that was kind of awesome.
They're not out, they are literally not out there in the world yet.
They're just in the belly still.
But someday. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. When you think about 18 years from now, you're still not that old.
No. Especially guys. Guys get better looking with age.
Yeah, that's what I tell myself. that's what I hope is true.
It's true.
When does that happen?
Right after all those doors shut.
Then you have nothing to do but get better looking.
Your face gets formed by all the doors slamming on them. And then that's where you get the chiseled look.
That's why guys look good.
And then you start running.
Yeah. That's it. You start running.
Away from your own fear. Fucking running.
I started exercising 8 years ago because I was like, I am not going to turn 50 someday and then be like, well, I better figure out how to get out of this tailspin. Because I didn't want to fucking be that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm very glad that I did. It's never too late to start. Jonah Ray's been working out. He looks great.
I started.
You look
working
good.
Out.
That's
Thank
fantastic.
You.
You look good, Jonah Ray.
Trying. I figured at 31, it's a good time to start working out for the first time.
I stopped at like 32.
Yeah,
I went, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Like after Riddick, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like I am done. My arms were so massive.
Oh, really?
I was in the gym, like, in Montreal with a couple of the cast, and I was looking for the 35.
The gym?
The gym. And looking for it was either the 30s or the 35-pound dumbbells. Let's say 35s because it makes the story
even better.
Yeah. And I noticed that this guy was using them to fly with, like, over the bench. And I was like, oh, fantastic. There they are. Do you mind if I work in with you? And he went, okay. And I picked them up and started curling them.
Oh, shit.
And to come to find out, he's like an ex-football player and was like, I walked out and then he looked at one of the cast members and went, what the fuck was that?
Oh, shit.
Like, you gotta warn a brother. Like, what are you doing? Like, she can't. Yeah. And I was, yeah. I mean, I was my arms
curling
were
the 35s.
I might have been 30, but they were huge. I mean, my arms were really gross.
But so. Now, well, you look.
Now they're wimpy like spaghetti arms, just like chicken wings. Just like chicken wings. It's great.
Yeah, that was a weird, crazy part when I tried CrossFit for a couple weeks,
oh,
where
God.
Just like you're struggling, and then there's this tiny lady next to you just fucking kicking your ass with heavier weights and more reps and faster. It's just, it's ridiculous.
But CrossFit's not really, bigger's not really.
No, it's not. Has nothing to do with it,
And CrossFit's great.
Yeah, it was just a bit too.
It's very intense.
Yeah,
I feel that if you have any, all the CrossFit people everywhere are going to go, fucker!
Yeah.
If you have any injuries, I don't know if it's right for you. Like, P90X is great, too. If you don't have knee problems, shoulder problems, back problems, feet problems.
Going on marathon runs is a great idea.
Too.
Well, it's just a lot of the televised exercise stuff you see, like, you know, people love kettlebells, and you go, yeah, but you just... There are so many ways to do them incorrectly and fucking ruin your back.
Destroy
like
yourself.
If you're lifting with your back or you move in a weird way, you can really fuck your body up. So in theory, if you do it perfectly, then it's great. But most people will just buy them and go, I'm swinging a bell.
Privacy of their own home, right?
Yeah.
The one thing I've learned as I've gotten older is that it's not about what you do at the gym. It's 95% what you eat. Yeah. Totally, 100%.
Yeah.
And 30 minutes, like a 30-minute walk and like 5 push-ups and maybe 10 sit-ups a day is like all you need.
You're in good
shape.
You don't
need to do anything. It's really, you know, to live a healthy life.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to look like a supermodel.
No.
I mean, I did.
You know what it was.
And then
was,
I realized that was a door, yeah, and it closed.
It's a lot of work.
The thing that got me like motivated to start working out was what's the guy from Parks and Rec that's gonna be in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Chris Pratt.
So it's like he Instagrammed that picture of just like no beer for, what do you say, like 6 months and then working out. And
do,
like,
do you really want to give a beer for 6 months? I don't.
No, I don't. That's the fucking problem.
Exactly.
That's what's fucking like, that's why I buoy just like, it's like.
Right. That's why,
like,
but see, that's why I have an unfair advantage because I don't drink. So for me, just like I'm not getting those calories. Well, because I would drink all the beers if I could.
But the thing is, it's different now, Chris. There's all kinds of beers you can choose from and they're all different tastes and
styles.
You're
right. I've been stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
No. But when you quit, it was like, you know, you go to a bar and there was Heineken, Bud, and Bud Light.
There was Stella.
This is an amazing interview. People are going to be like, not only did he tell me I could do tons of drugs, there are multiple beers to choose from, just like ladies and dicks. Mom.
Yes, ladies and dicks, so many different kinds.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is just like staying away from beer just because it's just,
yeah, it's really heavy. Yeah. When I start working again, I immediately cut wine out. And go to vodka.
Yeah. Here's my problem with vodka. Like, I'll have, like, two and be like, well, I can't have a third. So, I'll just take it easy with a beer.
No, water it down. Like, what I do is I have this, the Penguin, like the Soda Stream thing.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, so
yeah,
sparkly water, do like a splash of vodka and like a squeeze of lime. Mm-hmm. And you're actually not even drinking that much. It's just psychological.
Yeah.
Well, I know beer has a lot of calories as compared to vodka, but alcohol is still essentially sugar that your body has to metabolize.
And it's hard to.
And it's very hard to metabolize it, so it just goes, let's just put that over here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay in the dark on this side.
Yeah, I know.
Katie, your eyes are glazing over. Listen to me. You're just like...
It's like blissful ignorance would be my D&D name.
From your point of view, you just see this tunnel and this very thin pin, this pin light at the end. Katie, come back to us.
Yeah.
Vodka. What?
What? Yeah.
Where's that?
What?
Well, you've been absolutely delightful, and
Thanks for having me.
Come back on anytime, and good luck with the onslaught of the next couple days. And...
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, it's an interesting thing when some of the coolest shit in your life happens. You know, the universe obviously has to give you something just to level out your, the playing field and take something away from you.
Do you believe that?
I do. I think that, I don't know. I think that there's a... I've gotten to this point, and this is like by far one of the biggest moments of my career, and losing something that matters so much to you, it just reminds you what's important. So I won't get caught up in it. That's a good point of view.
I used to think things like that were connected, and I think my dad thinks that too, or he did when he was younger. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's random, and that they're not really connected. But I think we want to connect things because that's how we understand the world as being tethered to other things.
Yeah, I drink, so I tend to make things make sense in my own head.
That's what's great about it. Really connects the dots.
It really does connect the dots. Yeah. I just get really, really smart.
Yeah.
And everything seems to be connected.
And your friends are so much more funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
But I'm very sorry about Meatball.
It's okay. It's all right.
But it sounds like that you guys have had a good time together and that you have a healthy outlook on
it. He's awesome. He will live in my memories and on a box on my mantle.
Nice. My mom has that too. Yeah, her last two dogs. She has their ashes.
My mom was saying she was going to send. She was like, I can send you and your brother a little bit of Duke's ashes. And I was like, you just keep it there.
I'll love him from afar.
Yeah, it's fine. Again, yeah. And like a couple months after, she's like, I'm sorry, I said that. That's really creepy. I was just really emotional.
Yeah,
and
you're like, it's totally fine. Just here to support.
Yeah, I just got really upset while I was watching you while you sleep. What?
Yeah.
What?
I was petting you. You'll be the new Duke.
No.
No! Fucking mountain goat! Fucking mountain goat!
Well done. Stop the podcast, Chris. I'm so tired.
Quick, be funny.
No!
All right.
Oh.
Enjoy your burrito.
We should end while you're on top.
Thank you so much.
Oh my god. That's what this podcast should be called. End while you're on top.
I usually do.
It's sort of the theme of the podcast. Do end while you're on top.
End while you're on top.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.